Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Jay Hoffman, Director of the Office of Program Analysis and Evaluation within the U.S. Department of Energy. So, Jay, I have the pleasure of talking to many of my guests about the use of collaboration and partnerships among agencies and with the private sector to achieve mission results. What are you doing to leverage partnerships and collaborate to improve operations at DOE?
Well, the things that we're doing at DOE certainly go beyond just the work that I'm doing. The strategic planning process that I mentioned before, as well as the yet-to-be-finalized quadrennial technology review that some of your readers may have read about, have involved a number of town hall-like meetings to try to solicit a broad range of informed opinion about the things the Department of Energy is working on. Now, one of the things that we've heard from our stakeholders, and I think this has been interesting in terms of the importance of partnership, is one of the most important things and useful things that the government can provide is information. Turns out that it has a tremendous impact on the way consumers and businesses make choices. And if you think back to your Economics 101 class from college, that makes a lot of sense because competitive markets function best when information costs are low and we're in a near-perfect information situation. In the grand scheme of things, providing information is actually relatively inexpensive. Now, what does that mean? How does that affect decisions? Well, in terms of the Department of Energy, the government can provide data on the benefits of different energy efficiency technologies, and that data can lead to fundamentally different choices by consumers in terms of the doors and windows and light bulbs and homes that they buy. And that can have the same effect as some of the research that we're trying to pursue at the Department of Energy. I'd also say that the Recovery Act catalyzed a lot of idea sharing and networking and collaboration. The enormity of the recovery challenge, not just from the Department of Energy's perspective in terms of trying to implement something so large, but the entire federal government, it was a big initiative, I think resulted in a lot of new networking across agencies, a lot of best practice sharing, that we were all in this together. And I think a lot of good came from that.
Well, Jay, I'd like to understand, given your critical mission of your office and of your department, what are you doing to ensure that you have a well-trained, technically capable workforce?
Several years ago, when I was at the Department of Energy, a cabinet secretary, Secretary of Treasury, said to me and others, there are fundamentally three questions that your employees need to be able to answer yes to every day when they walk in the door. And they're as follows. Am I treated with dignity and respect? Do I have the tools and training I need to do my job? And am I encouraged to make a contribution? And did anybody notice my contribution? He said, if you can answer yes to those three questions every day, you'll have a world-class organization. So let me go back to something I said earlier. It starts with hiring the right people. If you can get individuals with a passion for the mission and a solid technical foundation, you are way ahead in terms of meeting the challenge that you've articulated in your question. Second is you have to make it a priority. I want to position my organization so that the staff can answer yes to that second question about having the tools and training they need to do their job. I think everyone in my staff knows that the training budget is the first line item that I allocate funding to every year. So it's not something that we try to figure out how much we can afford. It's given the training budget, what else can we afford? That sends a powerful message to your workforce. So the staffs know that if they commit to working with their supervisors, formulating a development plan to build their skills, that the dollars will be there.
Well, from your perspective, Jay, how has the renewed focus on performance led to more accountability and possibly enhanced program outcomes?
Well, first, I think that the evolution of the strategic plan is a fundamental tool for the cabinet secretary to articulate a set of priorities and then communicate those more broadly is a huge driver in terms of how the performance culture has evolved. Having the cabinet officer standing behind a set of very concrete things that they want to get done can do nothing but augment the performance management area. Second, and we've talked about this a little bit, I think that the Recovery Act lit the way on a lot of this. At DOE, there were three distinct Recovery Act phases. There was the planning phase where we were trying to figure out how to do this. Once we had it planned, we entered to phase two, which was what we called the obligating phase, is getting this money onto contracts. And then the third phase is actually executing the dollars and getting value from them. Now, in that, there was a lot of data-driven management, data-driven results, data-driven reviews, and I think all of this was important to establishing an operational cadence in recovery. We certainly knew what the goal was. The goal was to obligate $32 billion in 18 months, and that was an all-consuming process, and then to actually get results from this. So accountability and success through obligation were clear-cut, and if we didn't succeed, the money would end up going back to Treasury. Now, in my view, the next phase of this is linking all of this to people, right? So we've got the Secretary focused on this. The Recovery Act has taught us a lot. Now we need to get this into the everyday lives of every employee. And I'm talking about connecting this in a real no-kidding kind of way, all the way down into flowing into the standards of our line staffs. In order to do this, I think we're going to need to work closely with agency staffs, the unions, human resources. This should be viewed as an opportunity, not a threat. I think at the end of the day that agencies and staffs that can demonstrate they are delivering their mission and adding value will have a much better time in an austere appropriations environment than those that cannot demonstrate this. So at the end of the day, I think it comes down to people, and I think that's the next big phase.
So, Jay, what advice would you give someone who's considering a career in public service?
First and foremost, I think someone who's considering a career in public service needs to be able to articulate what it is that they hope to contribute in public service. How do you envision yourself making a difference? And I think you need to be realistic about where you can make a difference. The answer is probably not Department XYZ or the government. The impact and experience that you can have as a federal employee in most instances is very different than the contribution and impact you can have at a state and local level. And just it is not better or worse, but it's just different. And I think understanding that distinction is important. So for example, if you're interested in education, it's a very different prospect to work for the county of Fairfax as a teacher than it is to work as a program analyst at the Department of Education. Now, that said, I think the federal government is a terrific opportunity, particularly for people interested in policy and advanced analysis and research. However, you're two or three steps removed in a lot of cases from the delivery of the actual service and the citizens that you serve. And I find that for some people, when they're choosing public service, they miss this distinction. And so, again, I would just articulate what it is you want your contribution to be and then figure out where best you can make that contribution.
Well, Jay, I really appreciate your time today. I've enjoyed our conversation, but more importantly, I appreciate your dedicated service to the country.
Well, thank you very much, Michael. I enjoyed being here.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Jay Hoffman, Director of the Office of Program Analysis and Evaluation within the U.S. Department of Energy. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.